All right. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Let's turn to 1 Peter. And you know, I preach these series through the Word of God, and I'm preaching through the Book of Peter, and I just got caught up. I love the Book of Peter, and I've been wanting to preach it for many years, and I've got a chance to. But we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 20 through chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Okay, verse number 20 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 20 through 2 Peter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Amen? Let's all stand if you can.
Chapter 1, verse 1.
Chapter 1. Amen. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfaith love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power that's in the word of God to change our very lives. Father God, we need to hear from you. We've heard it sung that we need to hear from you. We've heard it prayed that we need to hear from you. Father God, on this Mother's Day and every day, we need to hear from you.
Amen.
We need a word from above, Father God, a life-changing word. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, it would be preached today through the man that you called. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We've been looking through the book of Peter, and we know that Peter had written this book persecuted believers that were being persecuted, believers that were actually being slaughtered and tracked down, and Peter came to them with an encouraging word, a word of exhortation, really to hang in there. And we went through chapter 1 of 1 Peter, and we found out in verse number 2 some of the things that Peter said to encourage them. First thing that he said in verse number 2, that remember that you were or are the elect of God.
Yes,
secondly, he reminded them of their lively hope, their sure hope in their inheritance that was waiting for them. He then outlined the privileges that come with being a Christian. And I think sometimes we really overlook this part of it. There are certain privileges that come with being a Christian. And the biggest one that we talked about earlier already is that you have that inheritance. And that inheritance is your place in the kingdom. No matter how hostile this world gets, you have a place in the kingdom. I heard Sister Blanche praying this morning, and she said, give us the faith and the power to stand. Stand like the world and stand. And when you watch some of the stuff, some of the mess that was on TV yesterday, and how proud they are of that, in the church, we sort of cowered down to the world. We don't want to stand. Apostle Peter reminded them of the example of Christ suffering. We serve a suffering Christ. What we learn in the series and the teaching on the resurrection and the death, burial, and resurrection, he never said a mumbling word. He never complained. They didn't drag him to Calvary. Peter wanted these believers to live victoriously. And a lot of us, we don't. We don't, as Christians, we don't live victoriously. We live almost defeated. Peter wanted them to raise the standard, to live like you know Jesus who died for your sins. Last thing he talked to them about, and we covered the things last week and the week before, to be obedient as good children. As good children. A good child is an obedient child. Some of us have obedient children. Some of us were obedient children. Did what we were told to do. And then as we were told to do it, we just did it. Didn't have to be told and told and told. Amen. You knew your job was to take out the trash and you took it out. Didn't have to see the trash hanging over the can. You knew what time it was. Peter gets to verse number 20. Last week we talked about the precious blood. What the precious blood was all about and why Jesus shed his blood in verse number 20. Verse number 19, and let me read it. It says, for with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Then in verse 20 and 21, he gives us four principles in here. You got to get them all. You have to get them all. And we have a lot of folks that believe one or two of them, but these aren't optional. First thing he said to these folks, and remember, this is a letter of exhortation. He's trying to encourage these believers. Amen. To keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So he comes out of verse 20 and he says, for verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That word foreordained really means predetermined. He's saying that Jesus coming and dying on Calvary's cross wasn't some knee-jerk reaction to us sinning.
No, sir.
It was prior to the world ever being established that Jesus had already, it was already in God's plans to send Jesus. This wasn't some knee-jerk reaction to us doing something.
Yes,
sort of like what we do.
Amen.
The plan was already in place. So he's not saying, you know, nothing, none of this is new. None of this is surprising to God. He's saying, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The first thing you have to believe that, you know, you have to believe in the fact that God had predetermined to send Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Second thing you have to believe is the virgin birth. He's talking about, when he says was made manifest, he's talking about the virgin birth. He's talking about Jesus was made manifest to these folks. Remember, this is 30 years after the resurrection. Most of these folks would have been in there, maybe their late 50s and 60s, that would have been there when Jesus Christ died and was crucified and resurrected. So he wasn't talking to folks he's talking to folks who had first-hand knowledge of what was going on. But when he's talking about made manifest, look at Matthew. This is one of the great texts in the Bible. And this is Joseph. He's talking about Joseph, and Joseph found out that Mary is pregnant, and he's contemplating these things in his mind. And we have to accept the virgin birth. Joseph had to. Look what it says in verse 19. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now he throws that thou son of David in there for a reason. He said, you know the word of God. You know what the word of God said. You know that Isaiah chapter 40 said that the Savior, the Messiah, would come and be born of a virgin. He reminded him of his lineage. He said, thou son of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a powerful word Joseph received that day. It's still a powerful word, because we can't even move to believing in Christ until we believe that he was born of a virgin.
Amen.
He walked this earth in the flesh. And he says it, and next thing he says, whom by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead. That's your third point. You have to believe that Jesus was predetermined. It was predetermined that he was going to come before the foundation of the world, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. You have to believe that he was born of a virgin. And I'm talking about salvation.
Amen.
I'm not talking about going to church.
Amen.
Then he says this. You have to believe in the resurrection.
Right.
Paul said in Romans 10:9, same thing. You got to believe in the resurrection. Whom by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead. Why did God raise Christ from the dead? He did it for us. He raised him from the dead for us. Why? So that we would have hope in God.
Amen.
Look what he says. You have the resurrection, the virgin birth. You have the predetermined counsel of God coming together and saying that he's going to come at a certain time. When you believe all that, you have the right stuff to move forward in your Christian walk. Miss one of those. Did I give you four? Look at the fourth one. He says, he gave him glory. He's talking about the ascension. He's talking about he rose Jesus from the dead and gave him glory by sitting him on high. I think Mark 16:9 really brings that out. And he says that in 16 and 19. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. He gave him glory. Now, before we can move on and say, just go around asking and telling each other, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Do you believe all that? Do you believe in the ascension of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the resurrection? I challenge folks. I say, challenge folks. Somebody say, I'm a Christian. Ask them. You have a right. And you may be helping them. Do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and that he was preordained before the world began? If you do, you can move on to the first point of the lesson. Amen. Baby's saying, it's too much this morning. Amen. Listen, the Word of God, and I titled this message, The Power of the Word of God. What is able to do? What is the Word of God able to do? And I know, first thing it's able to do, if you believe it, it's able to move your soul into new life. Interesting. We look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 all the time. And the person who believes the Word of God, the person who is moved by the Word of God, who has received the truth of God's Word, will be a new creature. We'll be a new creature. And when we look at it, it says, old things are passed away. All things have become new. And I left a word out intentionally. He said, behold. Behold. All things have become new. And one of the illustrations I like to use is when you go to the mall or you go to Walmart after the snow has fell, and it may be the springtime, and you'll still see those big mountains of snow. And I ride by them several times, and once the weather gets like today, and those mountains of snow gradually starts disappearing. This picture of this Christian life. When we come to the Lord, we're not instantaneously giving up everything. But after that Word of God continues to minister to us, those mountains come down and down and down and down. And people can see it. You ride by them, it's not as high. It's not as high. It's not as high. And we're constantly changing. And when Paul says all things become new, it's a gradual, gradual move of God. Our appetites change. Our senses, our faculties, our affections change. Our conversations change. Our actions change. Our friendships change. Our love for the world changes. Peter says in 1:21, who by him do believe that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's a difference. When we were in the world, our faith and hope was in our employer. It was in our job. It was in our ability to work. It was in our ability to generate income. It was in our ability to generate our own happiness. A lot of times you talk to folks and they're always looking for something to do. You won't find that with the true believer. The true man or woman of God always has something to do. Always has some work to do. Always has some ministry to do. Always busy. Saved folks are busy folks. You say, well, I'm saved and I'm not busy. Saved folks, God's people are busy people. So you look at that first point and say it has the power to move a soul. And I have to ask you, has your soul been moved? Since the day you confess that Christ is your Lord and Savior, have your soul been moved?
Yeah.
Have you changed? Look at this next point. Verse 22. Word has the power to purify your soul.
Amen.
I thought that was interesting. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Obeying the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God is the truth.
Amen.
What does it mean to purify your soul? Clean it up. To disinfect. To decontaminate. Cindy and I, you know, we got the extra boys. The children's services brought us the boys. We got a house full of kids, teenagers, and we have septic system. I'm in the house. I'm like, little ripe in here. Septic tanks. If some of you ever experienced them, they let off an odor when they need to be cleaned. So we called the people to clean them. They came by last week and cleaned them, and everything came out, and house smells good. And again, Word of God works the same way.
Amen.
This is one worth looking at.
Yes,
for our young folks. Psalms 119. Look at Psalms 119. It's talking about a question a young man asked a wise man. Solomon was a wise man. Psalms 119, verse number 9. And our young people need to ask this question. This is a good psalm to write down and memorize. It really is. But we talk about the Word of God and how it can purify your soul, the power that's found in the Word of God. And this is not for just men. This is going to put young women in here too. Okay? He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question.
Uh-huh.
This young man knew he had an issue, knew he had problems. Maybe it was with his eyes, his hands, his feet. Maybe he had temper, anger management problems, different things like that. But he knew he had problems.
Amen.
And he went to a wise man. Mm-hmm. And he said, wherewithal should a young man cleanse his ways? That's what he says. That's a question mark behind that. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He said, you get the word of God. And you have a book that can answer every question and every concern you may ever have. And some folks don't believe that. But I'm here to tell you it's true. Look what he says in verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. What great advice is being given to this young man? He said, take in the word of God. Seek it. Seek it out. And when you learn it, when you hear it, when you learn it, when it's taught to you, wander not from the commandments. The Word of God is a book of commandments, not a book of suggestions. And he's talking to the person who believes the Lord. Look what he says in verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Young man, young woman, hide the Word of God in your heart. Because everywhere you go, you take your heart with you. When you speak, your heart speaks. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So what's in your heart is coming out of you.
Amen.
So if lust is coming out of you, you got lust in your heart. If anger is coming out of you, you got anger in your heart. If lying is coming out of you, you got a lying heart. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me how I should respond. How I should respond to my husband. How I should respond to my parents. How I should respond to my employees. How I should respond to my neighbors. How I should respond to my wife. Teach me how I should respond to my children. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I'm here to tell you, you don't even know how to love a person until you love the Lord. You don't even know how to love a person until you love the Lord. Some of us have been in some mess because we thought we was in love. Some of us still paying for it. Jeremy said, I got a couple more years. Because I thought I was in love. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. He says, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments. Excuse me, all the judgments of thy mouth. That mouth's going to speak. You letting the person know all about you when you open your mouth. It can purify the soul. It can clean you up. The Word of God has the ability to do that. You know, and this is why I beg folks to come to Bible study. Come to Sunday school. Get the Word. Whether you online now, you know, there's good lessons. There's good teaching all over. This is a great, the world is set up for great teaching. You can go on sermon audio and listen to sermons from all over the country. Some of the greatest preachers all over the world. You can use YouTube for this. YouTube is good for a whole lot of other things. You can download sermons. You punch in Born Again on YouTube and watch what comes up. Great, great stories and different things and teachings on what it means to be born again, what it means to be a Christian. Google what it means to be a Christian. You got all the teaching you possibly could handle for a lifetime. The Word of God can purify your soul. What else can the Word of God do? my ass. What else can a word of God do? My notes all jangled up today. Excuse me. It can cause you to be born again. I like that one. Look at verse number 23. Talking about the word of God here. Talking about the precious blood of Christ being born again. Now that's a subject that all of us on its own. It stands on its own. Being born again. What's it mean to be born again? Well, everybody's born again. If you say you're a Christian, you've been born again, but what happened? Because if you're born again, like James says in James 1 and 18, it says, of his own will he begot us out of the word of truth. Yeah. You were born the first time, happy Mother's Day.
Right.
And when you were born the first time, I told you I'd make a Mother's Day lesson out of this. That first birth, Joshua's birthday today, you had that first birth. That brought you into the world. And when you came into the world, look at these little babies around here. They had to cling to their mothers or to their caregiver. They had to cling. They can't make it on their own. You leave these little babies here, they're going to struggle and they're going to die. They cling to their parents. Or in a lot of our cases, their grandparents and their aunties and different things. But without them, without that substance giver, they lose it.
Amen.
But look at this, what James is saying. I'm talking about the second birth. And I always tell you, the second birthday is the one. First birthday is okay, but the second one, that's the important one. You got to have two birthdays. I tell people, I was born in March, first one, and second one, I was born in January. And the January one is the important one. Because James is saying here, of his own will, he begot us with the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. You know what?
Amen.
If you've been born again, just like that first birth, you clung to your mother. That second birth, when you were begotten by the word of God, you're going to cling to the word of God. Your desire for the word of God, your desire for the things of God, and wanting to be around the people of God, it's just going to increase.
Yeah.
The same way. My mother was around, and back in the days of Atlantic Mills, she wasn't going to Atlantic Mills without me.
Amen.
Oh, no. I'm on her. I was on her. When you say you're born again by the word of God, guess what? The people of God said they're getting together. You all want to be with them. Oh, you want to be with them. I want to be with the people of God. You know this? You know this as a person who's born again. 1 Timothy 2:5. He said that for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. You want to be with Christ. Remember Nicodemus, that great story in John 3. Nicodemus had it all together. Greatest teacher in Israel. One of the wealthiest men in Israel. Met Jesus at night. What did Jesus tell him? Must be born again. If that applied to Nicodemus, what do we do with a scripture like that? If he was a great teacher, he would have considered himself in. He has to be born again. So, talk to your loved ones. Mothers, when their children come around today, greatest gift they can give you is the fact they can tell you honestly, Mom, I'm saved. I'm saved. You don't have to worry about them so much. And even if they leave, you know you're going to spend all eternity with them. That's important. So we get 60, 70, 80 years on this side with our loved ones. But isn't it a wonderful thing? Just to know that when we leave here after 70, 80, that we get to spend all eternity with our children. That's what David did. David lost his son. And he cried and fasted and sackcloth and ashes. And then when they found out he died, he dusted himself off. He dusted himself off. I can go to him. The word. cause you to be born again. I think it goes into the next point. It talks about it lives and abides forever. And this is Peter trying to encourage these believers who are struggling, who are going through. Listen to what he says, not only in verse 23, being born again, but then he says, not of corruptible seed.
Amen.
We talked about that last week. You know, you weren't purchased with gold or silver through your vain conversation. But he's saying, not of corruptible seed. You weren't born with something that's going to rot out and die. You're not born with corruptible things that's not going to last. But of incorruptible. Incorruptible. The Word of God is incorruptible. And when that seed is planted in the life of a believer, guess what? God's Holy Spirit will not spend all eternity in hell. It will not. And if you have God's incorruptible seed in you, that is an assuring thing that you will spend eternity with God. God's coming to get His. You will not spend eternity in hell with God's Holy Spirit abiding in you.
Amen.
And that just should make you say amen.
Amen.
Knowing that when this life is over, no matter what happens, I like Paul, Peter, when Jesus was questioning the disciples and asking them in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? And when we get to verse 13, Peter waited. The other disciples said, well, some say you are Elijah, and others say you Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
Look at the last part. And I say unto you, I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? You want to talk about how you're going to build a church on Peter? Don't let the Catholics tell you that Peter was the first pope and all that stuff.
Amen.
That's not what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He said Peter made a rock-like statement.
Yeah.
And this is the statement that the church is built on.
Yeah.
That thou art the Son of God. And Peter said, you preach that. God is saying to Peter, you preach that, and all hell's going to break out, and all hell's breaking out against the church if you're conscious.
Amen.
If you're conscious, the church is under attack from every corner.
Yeah.
Look what God said. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is going to come under attack. And if you stand on the Word of God, you're going to come under attack. And you better gird up the loins of your mind. You better be ready to battle. And honestly, I don't know if the church is ready to battle. That's spooky. Is the church ready to battle? Have you rolled your sleeves up and said, you know what? I'm ready to battle. I'm ready to go after it. Listen. Go back to 1 Peter. I'm not going to be long. I understand the day. Verse 23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What's he talking about? The Word of God. It's a good seed. It's unchangeable. Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it will live forever. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been through it. And you know God's Word has never changed. I heard Blanche say again when she was praying, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. God's word is unchangeable. Look what else does it do. When he says it's unchangeable, verse 24, great text. All flesh is as grass. You know, that's all we are. What do we eat? Everything we eat comes from grass. When we leave here, guess where we going? Back to the grass. I always say, you know, I'm using more Vaseline on my feet than I ever have. And I'm putting it on heavier because I'm drying up. Lotion companies, folks is making all kinds of lotion companies trying to keep you young and all that because we're going back to the grass. We're going back to the dirt. And that should be a reminder. I don't say that to be mean or anything. I know some of y'all, you know, raised young and he has dry skin. But it ought to remind him every time he looks down and see his dry skin, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We're going back into the ground. And this is what Peter is saying here. It doesn't matter. The problem with going back into the ground is going back into the ground unsaved. Not knowing Jesus as your Savior. That's the problem with going back into the ground. Because no one gets out alive. I had that conversation this week with also one of my co-workers. And I said, you're going to die too. And they look at me like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know I'm right. You're going to die too. The only sad thing about dying is dying unsaved. And nobody want to tell you that anymore. For all grass, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. And y'all know I go to garage sales and I go to flea markets and different things, and I see all that stuff. Folks ain't never used. Don't leave it. I know the story. I can sit here and repeat it. They asked how much did the rich man, they asked him at the reading of his will, how much did he leave? Left it all. Amen. Somebody else going to wear this robe. Amen. All flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. You know what? Great Mother's Day. Mother, I know the Lord. I'm saved. Grandma, I've given my life to the Lord. Granny, as I call mine, I'm giving my life to the Lord. My grandmother was one of them ones. You go to her house, she had the plate on the table turned over. And she had an extra setting. I was like, Grandma, who that for? She lived by herself. I said, who that plate for over there? She said, that's the Lord's.
Amen.
You know? And then I come in, I'm bringing her a can of Maxwell coffee. She said, I needed some coffee. I was just praying somebody bring me some coffee. That's how she was. That's how she was. I bring her something. I didn't know why I was bringing it to her. And I didn't know. She just prayed up some coffee. I bring her some coffee. Amen. Then my father who passed away in February, I feel like barbecuing today. I'll be out the back in the back barbecue, and I put him together of all his little ribs and bread and sauce and everything. Take it down to him. He thought I was still thinking about that. That's how it is. God is good. But the word of God, verse 25, but the word of God endure forever. You know, the word of God, when that word endure for being, it's a challenge. The word of God is under attack. And the word of God is being attacked.
Amen.
Being attacked. Right before our very eyes. This world has no value system, no morality. Everything is out the window and the churches happen to embrace it. And the church that says, I'm going to stand, is under attack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and he tried to close you down. But if the word of God is there forever, and the word of God is in you, guess what you have to do? Endure forever. The Bible said, "He who endured to the end shall be saved." You know, y'all sit here, I wonder why I love to see the old folks come in. Because I know they endure. And it's easy for Mother Wallace to get here. Sister Doris to get here, and Shirley and Blanche and Claire coming in here with her stick, you know, coming out to choir rehearsal twice a week and Bible study and laboring for the Lord. But I look at it as he who endured to the end. Because a whole lot of folks quitting halfway in. Can't quit halfway in. Got to endure to the end. Why? The word of God endured forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And what is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection. The ascension of our Lord. That's the gospel message. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, we preach Christ and Him crucified, what he meant is we preach the gospel. Every time Paul opened up the word of God, he preached the word of God. He's sitting here and debate folks all the time. Some folks just want to argue about scripture and argue about theology and the doctrine of dispensation and the doctrine of eschatology and the doctrine of hermeneutics and homiletics, and they argue. Paul said, we preach Christ and crucified.
Amen.
I come in here, I can't preach to y'all the doctrine of hermeneutics and homiletics. Y'all need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
There's a place for everything. Folks need to be saved. Loved ones need to be saved. Young people need to hear the word of God. These young people need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
Nothing else is going to save them. It'll save them. Chasing zombies on tablets. Listen, my last point. Now I'll cover it, and we're moving straight through the book of 1 Peter. But the word of God will not only cover some of these, not only clean you up, purify you, not only give you the power you need to live a born-again life. Let's do this too. It will give you the desire to want to grow. Okay, you it will produce a continual growth in you. And I really struggle with Christians who aren't growing. Okay? Because I believe we ought to be growing. We ought to be learning. We ought to be challenging the Word of God. Challenging our own thinking about different things. We ought to. It ought to be our heart's desire. Listen, Peter says in chapter 2, wherefore, lay aside all malice. Okay? Anger, bitterness, want to kill somebody. All guile, hypocrisy, living double lives, saying one thing, doing another. In envies, worrying about other folks, evil speaking. A lot of that go on in the church. Paul's talking to Peter's talking to church folks. This ain't, he's not talking to folks working on the assembly line at General Motors. He's talking to church folks. He's having to tell them, stop all the bickering, all the fighting, all the guile, all the hypocrisies, all the envies, and evil speaking. Look at verse 2. And grow. Get that childlike faith. Like newborn babe desire milk of God, of the word. That you may grow. And the question you have to ask yourself, you can only answer it. Are you growing? When you compare your life spiritually now than 5 years ago, can you say I've grown? Am I growing? Am I learning? Am I learning? Look at Matthew. You don't have to, but Matthew 18. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, you have to humble yourself like a little child, like a little child. He says Jesus called unto them a little child. They were all struggling with pride and arrogance, and who can top this? You know, you meet people like that, you know, top this, and you tell them you've been to Disney World once, they've been there 3 times, and you know, and you tell them you've been to the mall, and you know, it's just. Can I top this? Jesus is saying this to his disciples. He says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Converted. Changed. That's not that new creation, that new creature. Except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, preach that to a 75-year-old. Preach that to a 50-year-old. Be converted, become like a little child. See, they'll rebel against that. But what Jesus is saying is, you have to have that childlike faith. Well, when you come to the Lord, you got to depend on Christ. Believe in this teacher. I look at the little babies out there. Listen, when Ray was little, he'd get at the top of the steps and jump down. Childlike faith. Won't do it now. Somebody said he'd be in the basement. But you understand what I'm saying? And we have to ask ourselves, well, how's my faith? When we look at the call of God in our lesson today, we ask God, you know, do I have that faith? Am I growing as a Christian? Have I really been born again? That's so dear to my heart. That's so dear to my heart because everybody is a Christian. But nobody struggling with this thing. And that concerns me. When I talk to folks and they say, well, I'm a Christian. But being a Christian don't mean you've been baptized. It don't mean you spoke in tongues. It don't mean that you sing in the choir or you're on a praise and worship team. Being a Christian means that you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Death, burial, resurrection, and you live a changed life and you're growing in godliness. And your love for the Lord is growing, and it's only going to grow if you study. If you step out on faith and live a life that gives God glory. First Corinthians 10:31, Paul saying to the believers in Corinth, and all that you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God. The Christians, we learn in Bible study this morning, Jesus' call, his duty was to glorify God. How can ours be any less? And ask yourself, am I glorifying God this day? Am I going to glorify God the remainder of this day? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, we come to you thanking you for Mother's Day and the sermon on Mother's Day. Father God, we want to apply the Word of God to our lives. Do we live for God? Are we serving God? Are we glorifying God in the things that we do and the things that we say and the places that we go, the company that we keep? Are we like the young man who asked the wise man, how can a young man cleanse his ways? We got some issues. We got some obstacles in our lives that are keeping us from really serving you. And you really looking down and blessing us. Father, we ask you today that you would just give us the strength to stand on your word. Give us the strength and the encouragement to continue living. Even when it seems like all hell's breaking out and you're serving the Lord and things still haven't turned around, give us the strength to continue, to press on. Give us that pressing strength. We can see light at the end of the tunnel. Things will get better when you serve the Lord. Amen. And then let us realize that sometimes things are going, we struggle because God is purifying us. There's strength in the battle. When we've been through a dark time, we've been through a hard time, a pressed time, and we overcome it. There's power in that. There's strength in that. So give us that type of strength, Lord. And then on this Mother's Day, we ask that you just be with the mothers of the church. Yeah. Be with those who want to be mothers. Yeah. I won't forget it. You know, there's some women here that Mother's Day is a struggle. Want to have a child. And we pray that you would bless them. And bless these children in here. Bless them to be good children. That mothers
we'll be able to thank God for them. Then we pray right now, Father God, that every mother's not a good mother. We take for granted that every mother is a good mother. But every mother's not a good mother. Father God, we pray for those that they would become better mothers. That they would one day become that virtuous woman that Proverbs 31 talks about. Pray for grandmothers that are doing the role of mothers. Give them strength, Father God. Raising children takes energy, takes courage and grace. We pray for aunties that are raising children. I pray for Paula. I just call her name out. Just give her strength to continue. Pray for Debbie. Always has her grandbaby with her. Pray that you give her strength. Continue. Raise him up in the church and the fear and admonition of the Lord. Pray for all single mothers of this world. Now I pray for men that they would step up and be counted and do the right thing and help out.
Amen.
Father, thank you for everything on this day.